Good morning, everyone. It is so nice to be able to stand here and just try and be obedient to what God wants me to say this morning. And the nice thing whenever I do stand here is the pressure is completely off. If you're obedient to God, whatever the result that comes after that, that's luckily not my issue. That's God's issue. So pressure is off me, but the pressure is on you to go and apply what I say today. So makes it a bit easier for me. So what I want to talk about today is friendship and how to be a good friend of God. And it's a weird topic, really, because in one sense, if you think about your friendships, friendships are normally, you know, you can have a Facebook friend or you can have a real good friend where you can just sit down and talk about everything, and that person you know will help you through anything, will encourage you, will give you money when you need money. And so I think it's such a difficult topic because we've got a mindset of what a good friend must be like, you know, a good friendship. But that's not always what God intends for us. And in Scripture, we can see that God says, or Jesus, he hands out this invitation. He says, you know, I'm your friend. I'm willing that you be my friend. And it's for us to either say, God, I don't want your friendship, or yes, I want to be your friend. And what does that look like? Because we cannot be a friend with God in the same way that we've got Facebook friends or social media friends, you know. And I don't like Facebook that much, but I see they're not really deep friendships. Like, unlike, you know, post a video, post a photo, post a meal, whatever. It looks a bit weird. Anyway, let me read a scripture. John 14, from verse 23. And we'll just see what Jesus is saying about being friends with God or being a friend with him. And Jesus says, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words ye are not my own, they belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It just remains in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. So we can clearly see in Scripture, Jesus says, keep my commands. The one who obeys me, the one who keeps my commands, he is my friend. And, you know, we read over that Scripture and say, yeah, I've heard that before, easy, done. And we walk out the door. But today I want to look at, have a closer look at friendships, and maybe just dig a little bit and see what is it like. How do we treat God, and do we sometimes treat God like we treat a Facebook friend? So let me give you a quick example. So Jacob, he is a waiter. He's our barista today as well. And he's told us before he's working in the job that he's working as a waiter. He's working for a person who wants him to work quick. And says, faster, faster, Jacob, faster. And then later on said, no, Jacob, you're doing well. You are much faster. We're happy with you. But that manager wants Jacob to be obedient. So that manager wants Jacob to follow commands. So Jacob can be fast, and he can carry everything to the tables and clean the tables and be friendly with the people that come and visit the restaurant. But there might be some things that he leaves out, one or two things. And I'll come back to one or two things that we might leave out in our relationship with Jesus later. Let me talk about the Ten Commandments. And you think, Ten Commandments and friendship, how does that work? So let me tell you. So let's say, I'm not going to use Mark, I'll use Jeremy, because Jeremy's wife is not here. And so let's say we go to God, and we read the Ten Commandments, and God says, no idols before me, you have to worship me, I'm a jealous God, don't steal, don't murder, don't lie, obey the Sabbath day. You know, God gives us a lot of rules. He gives us a list of things to do. And I think a lot of the time we can treat God, or our friendships, we can treat like that. So let me give you an example. We can treat God like that. So let me give you an example. So I can meet Jeremy. And I can say, hey, Jeremy, I'm Andre. Please, it's nice to meet you. We've got some things in common. We are keen golfers. We like to eat professional. We like to eat meat. We like barbecues. There's a real, like, there's a bond between us. I can feel this. There's some commonality. And so we meet maybe for two, three times. And then I go to Jeremy. I say, Jeremy, I feel this real friendship building here. I just want to let you know that I won't steal from you. I won't swear at you. I won't use your name as a swear word. I won't covet your wife, your car, or your house. Is that okay? And Jeremy would think, are you mad? What are you doing? And then the next day I get to Jeremy and say, Jeremy, I just want to say, I feel there's a friendship, you know, growing here. I just want to say that I won't swear at you. I won't lie to you. I won't steal anything from you. And I won't covet your house or your wife or your car. Is that okay? And Jeremy would think, oh, what's something wrong with you? What is wrong with you? You know? Because if you build a friendship and your friend, he would assume those things. He would assume that I won't steal from him, or that I won't lie to him, or that I won't lust after his house or his car or his wife or his donkey or his maidservant or or his dog. But I think a lot of the time we treat God that way. We get to God and we're so focused on what not to do. Oh, I must not sin. I must not sin. Oh, I mustn't look at pornography. I mustn't look at bad movies. I mustn't swear. I can't smoke. Oh, there's so much stuff that I can't do. And I go to God and I say, God, I didn't kill anyone today. I wasn't angry. I didn't lust after anyone. I didn't swear at anyone. I didn't use your name as a swear word. Whew. Thank you, God, we've got a good relationship. And it can be a very shallow relationship, you know? If we've got a relationship like that where God gives us to-do list, and but sometimes we can be so focused on what is God saying not to do. Oh, I mustn't sin, I mustn't sin, I mustn't sin. But actually, that is rubbish. You know what? God wants us to live a pure and holy life, but there's so much more. I mean, In the Bible, you get sins of omission and sins of commission. The sins of commission is, oh, I've done something wrong. I stole something. I know I must not do that. But sins of omission is things that God's saying to me. God wants me to love people, but I'm not. That's a sin. God can say to me, listen, love your neighbor, go and do something, give them a meal or give them flowers or send them a message or do something, invite them to a barbecue. And I can ignore God. I can just absolutely ignore God. That's a sin. But we don't focus on those things. We don't see those things because we're hypocrites. You know, we walk before God and I'm okay. I didn't swear. I didn't take drugs today. I didn't steal. Yeah, let's carry on. Life is good. We are friends, good friends, me and Jesus. But you know what? God wants much more than that. There's a much deeper relationship available from Jesus. He doesn't want us just to stop doing bad things. He wants us to start doing good things. And the start is where he says in the scripture, he says, you are my friends if you do what I command. And if you read there, he says, this is my command, love one another. And I can stand here and say, you guys need to love one another. And what does that look like? So I can say, oh, Dennis, you have to love your neighbors. What does it mean? I don't know. You have to hear from God what that means. Maybe your neighbor needs encouragement. Maybe he needs a door fixed. Maybe he needs a safety gate. I don't know. But you know, it's not that easy that we can write down a list and say, this is how you love people. At one stage, you have to sit in front of God and say, God, help me to love people the way you love them. And let's quickly look at how Jesus loves us. You know what? I was in a religious church all my high school, primary school, high school. I never got saved in that church because they never preached the whole gospel. They preached half a gospel. We go out the door and they said, hang on to Jesus. I said, what does that mean? How do I hang on to Jesus? You know, it's a bit weird. So Jesus wants much more than that for us. There's a deeper relationship available through the Holy Spirit. So let's look a little bit at what that looks like. I want to read just the intro in my Bible of John. And just to paint you a picture of this God that's reaching out this morning and he says, you know what, I want to be your friend. And we can either dumb it down to our level of friendship, or we can raise the bar and say, wow, the God of the universe is willing to be my friend. Before I do that, let me give another example quickly. Let's say there's a person that gets caught in stealing drugs, name a few bad things. He's a drug addict, he stole a car. Police chase him, and he has 9 years. They get to him and say, what do you want to say? And I said, I am a friend of Mark Stain, who is a CEO at Rehoboth, and he leads Cross Culture Church. Mark would look at the news and say, what? Do I know him? You know, how does that person know me? But all of a sudden, people will associate Mark with a guy that just stole and using drugs. I think we do the same with Jesus. Imagine we're walking out, we're saying, oh, we are Christians, we do this, we do that. And Jesus must look at us sometimes and think, so you say you know me. I don't want to be associated with you, really. I think we take this Christian thing so lightly. Yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm a friend of God. Really? I wonder what Jesus say. You know, if he looks down at us and say, are you really my friend? I don't know, you know. You're like a Facebook friend. Yeah, so let me just read this quickly, and just listen to this God that's reaching out and say he wants to be your friend. Listen to his. He spoke and galaxies whirled into place. Stars burned the heavens and planets began orbiting their suns. Words of awesome, unlimited, unleashed power. He spoke again, and the waters and the lands were filled with plants and creatures, running, swimming, growing, multiplying. Words of animating, breathing, pulsing life. Again he spoke, and the man and the woman were formed, thinking, speaking, and loving. Words of personal and creative glory, eternal, infinite, unlimited. He was, is, and always will be the Maker and the Lord of all that exists. And then he came in flesh to a speck in the universe called planet Earth. The mighty Creator became a part of creation, limited by time and space, and susceptible to aging, sickness, and death. but love propelled him, and so he came to rescue and save those who were lost and to give them the gift of eternity. He is the Word, he is Jesus, he is the Christ. And what's amazing about this picture is that Jesus, that God, is putting out his hand and saying, I want to be your friend. And I don't want to be a shallow friend that you just like every now and then, or that you just treat me like, yeah, it's easy to be obedient in the big ticket items. Yeah, I come to church, I go to prayer meeting, tick the box, off I go. But God is a God of detail. God is a God of detail. And there's a much, much deeper relationship available through the Holy Spirit. So let me talk about Jesus. He is a man that said he loves us. He's God, came to earth as a man, and he loved us so much that he was willing to die on a cross. They beat him. They crucified him. And out of that, he said, I laid down my life so that we can be friends with God. Without Jesus, it's absolutely impossible to be a friend of God. How can you be a friend of God, or how can you be a friend to someone who calls him a consuming fire? You can't. God is a consuming fire. Without Jesus, we cannot get close to God. It's impossible. It's only through Jesus that we've got access to God, and he calls us friends. So let's keep that in mind. Then I want to read Exodus 34. Just to paint you a picture of who this God, who our friend is. And it says, and he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate, the gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. How amazing is that? Our God is slow to anger, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. So this morning when we end this meeting, there's opportunity for you to take a step closer to Jesus. Take a step close in your relationship to him. And there's one thing that we cannot miss. To be a friend of Jesus, to be a friend of this consuming fire, there's one qualification. Be obedient and follow my commands. That's it. But the problem with us humans is, you know, I'll use myself as an example. So years ago, we're living in a different city, and I heard a message once on evangelism. Yeah, you go to your neighbor, but really your physical neighbor, and just meet them, befriend them, or whatever. And I didn't say anything to anyone, but in my heart, I made a decision that that's uncomfortable, and I will never do that. And I said, Jesus, look, I'm coming to church. I'm doing setup. I help with sound. I think that's about enough, you know? And I'm going to home groups in the week. But now this uncomfortable thing that you ask of me to go and actually greet my neighbor, that's a bit too much. And I don't know if I can do this. So I didn't. So I secretly in my heart, I didn't say to anyone, but I decided in my heart, nah, I will not be obedient. I will just ignore you. I'll do all the other visible things that Christians do, go to church, read the Bible, and pray. But there's some things, no, that's uncomfortable. No, I'm just not that kind of person, Jesus, so leave me alone. And so for years I did that. I was just obedient. But that is what we humans do, you know? It's easy. I'll do the visible things. But there's things in our hearts, there's things in your heart that you are hiding from God, that you are secretly saying, up to there, and then it's uncomfortable. I'm not going there. And Jesus says, get over yourself, get over yourself. So Jesus laid down his life. He didn't sacrifice a leg or arm. You know, they didn't cut off Jesus' arm. And I said, listen, I love you guys, but I only sacrifice my hand. No, Jesus sacrificed his whole body. Was it uncomfortable? It was uncomfortable. And the wonderful thing is Jesus asked us to do the same. He doesn't want us to sacrifice a hand. Oh, Jesus, it's uncomfortable. It will be because he wants your whole life. He bought you back. When you said, Jesus, be my Lord and my Savior, he bought you. You belong to Jesus. So we are rebels. Let me come to Jacob's story quickly. So with obedience, that's the main thing. Obedience, following commands, that's the main thing that qualifies us to be a friend of Jesus. And please hear me, it is not following the Ten Commandments. It's not following a list of rules. Because that's our default setting. We want to do the visible things. God is looking deeper. He's looking into our hearts. Let me come back to obedience, Jacob's story. So, Jacob is a good waiter. And the manager comes to Jacob and said, Jacob, well done. You are a good waiter. And we are happy with you. You are fast. You are good. But there's one thing that you miss. When you make the tables ready, we want you to put, because you work in an Asian restaurant, I'll use this. We want you to put a bowl of chili sauce on the table. That's one thing that we do in this store. There's always lots of chilies because we all love chilies. And then Jacob says, but I don't like chilies, and I really cannot see the need to have chilies on the table. So Jacob doesn't say it. He just ignores the manager. So Jacob greets people at the door, takes him to the table. He is the best waiter. He's fast, he's quick, he's friendly. He's like Superman in terms of waitering. But there's this one thing. He doesn't want to put the chilies on the table because he doesn't like chilies. And then the second day, the manager comes to Jacob and said, Jacob, look, you didn't put the chilies out. Please remember, when you make the tables ready, put fresh chilies there. That's what we do in this store. And Jacob says, yes. But in his heart, he says, no. And then he carries on. And it goes on day after day. After a week, the manager calls Jacob and he says, Jacob, you know what? You got certificates being the best waiter. You are doing an excellent job. But in this one thing, you are not obedient. Therefore, you are fired. Sorry, Jacob, you have to go. And do we do that with God? Do we do that with God? God, I'm coming to church. I will even do sound and setup. I'll do coffee. I'll go to prayer meetings. I'll try and live a holy life. I won't swear and smoke weed. But there's this other thing that I'll just ignore you. What are the little things that you are ignoring, God? I mean, you are 98% there. And in your heart, you say, I can't see the value of this. You know, it's not important to me. And that is where we have to get to God. Say, God, what is that one thing? That thing that I'm hiding in my heart. That thing that I don't want to be obedient. And let's change that. Without it, if we don't change it, we're not going to have a close friendship. We're going to have a shallow and superficial friendship with Jesus Christ. And the thing with a friendship with Jesus is, you know, this morning we were chatting about just love and the way that God uses us and the things he wants us to do. But we can dumb down Christianity in a to-do list of things that I have to do. But actually, there's a life available from the Holy Spirit that says, I am someone who wants to walk with you every minute of every day. In the scripture, and Jesus says, I will send the counselor. I will send the Holy Spirit. He will guide you, lead you, he'll teach you. And the thing is, if we're not obedient and we don't follow Jesus' commands, there's no way that we're going to have a full revelation of this deep friendship available. Let me read this. Jeremiah 17, verse 10 says this. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. And if you think about that, God searches the heart and examines the mind. When I heard that scripture for the first time, I thought, oh, man, God is using this. You know, he's got certain things that he can do. He can read our mind. He can, you know, our thoughts. So I'm sure God's searching my mind and my heart to see what sin I've been doing. You know, he's checking up on me. But I think that is so wrong. And if you take just a normal definition of examine, it is this: to investigate and determine general health or the cause of illness. And I believe that is what God wants to do with us. As soon as we sit down with him, he wants to come close to us And he wants to examine us to find where is the illness or the cause of illness. And you know what? When we allow God into our hearts and into our minds, he says, that is the problem. I want to see what's in your heart. I want to examine your heart, not to check up on you, but to help you, to let you grow, to come in the fullness of this relationship. So allow that. Allow God to examine you, examine your heart, examine your mind, to grow in that friendship with God. Yeah. Man, this is so difficult. Sometimes, like I said with a neighbor in terms of evangelism, we reason commands away. So God commands us to do something, and I will come up with my reasoning, and I say, no, I'm not going to do that because of this, this, and this, and this. Because it's uncomfortable, because I don't like it, because I don't believe it, whatever that is, we reason things away. So, for example, with my previous job, I was traveling a lot, and then I know God wanted me to say, sometimes say something to people about him. You know, if it's a word of knowledge, words of wisdom, or whatever it is. But then I had this excuse. I said, God, if I talk to a person that's 200 kilometers away, there's no churches there, so what use is this? It will mean nothing. You know, it will absolutely mean nothing. And that is such rubbish. Can you believe that? And so we find ways just to reason commands away. So Jesus says, be obedient, and there's a friendship available, and we come and we reason it away. I want to read something out of a little book that Charles Spurgeon wrote, and it just gives us a little bit of insight into a friendship of God, what it looks like. Because a lot of the time, in this relationship with Jesus, we live our lives and we make our own decisions, and it's decisions that God don't want us to make. So let me just read this quickly. Okay. So we have lots of things, you know, we've got lots of things that we have to keep ourselves busy with. So, I mean, I've got a son, he's 15, there's homework, there's sport, we've got work. My wife's a teacher, she's always busy doing marking and preparing for lessons. Then we've got things on in church, so life is always busy. And then we've got to look for a new house sometime, we have to buy a new car. Life is just a lot of time busy, and we step away from what God wants us to do and be, and we just follow life because that's a default setting. So let me just read this to you. Next, we will enjoy a life free from life's heaviest cares. So this is now if we obey God and we follow His commands. He says, we will enjoy a life free from life's heaviest cares. If we were in the middle of Africa, or with Stanley, the newsman who found missionary David Livingstone, our pressing concern would be to find our way out. Yet, when we have nothing to do but to obey, our road is mapped out for us. Jesus says, follow me, and this makes our way plain and lifts the load of care off our shoulders. To choose our course by human reasoning is a way of thorns. Oh, when I read that, I thought, oh, that is absolutely so true. So listen to this. To choose our course in life by human reasoning is a way of thorns. So it's not to say you're not going to get to the other side, but it's going to be sore. To obey is like traveling on a king's highway. When we follow our own methods, we have to sail against the wind and try to get back to our original course. And we often miss the port after all. But faith, like a steamship, steers straight for the harbor's mouth and leaves a bright track of obedience behind her as he forges ahead. When our only concern is to obey, 1,000 other cares take flight. How easy is this? How easy is this? If our only concern is to obey, 1,000 other cares take flight. The only thing we have to worry about is to be obedient. And all the other things will just dwindle away. It's not important, really. If we sin in order to succeed, we have sown seeds of care and sorrow, and the reaping will be a grievous one. If we forsake the path and try shortcuts, we will have to do a degree of wading through mire and slough. We will splat ourselves with mud from head to foot, and we will be weary trying to find our way back, all because we could not trust God and obey His instructions. Obedience may appear difficult, and it may bring sacrifice with it, but after all, it is the nearest and the best road. The ways of obedience are in the long run, ways of pleasantness, and all the paths are peace. The person who is always believing and obedient through the strength of the Holy Spirit has chosen the good part. What a beautiful picture of just obedience. You know, we get so worried about relationships, finances, stuff. But if we bring all of that back down and we take time to sit in front of God and say, God, in terms of relationships, in terms of finances, in terms of my spouse, my husband, my wife, my kids, what are you saying? And we go to the Bible and you say, love one another. It's very easy. Be obedient, love one another. And if we do that and we don't mix all of the other things with Jesus' command and we choose which one is comfortable, we'll find it easy at the end. Let me use this example. In terms of friendship, I'm friendly with everyone, but I'm not a good at building good friendships. Maybe just my personality, I'm not sure. But friendships are hard work. You have to work at friendships. So sometimes you have to lay down your life. You have to make an effort to build a relationship, to build a friendship. It takes time. You have to sit down, have dinners and coffees and do things together to build a friendship. And one friendship or one picture that is a good example of a good friendship is a marriage between husband and wife. I mean, Maureen knows me very well. She knows what I like. She knows what I don't like. She knows when I'm grumpy. She knows what I'm like when I get up in the mornings. And I know her. I know what makes her angry. I know what she loves. And you know what? How beautiful if we can have a friendship like that, but multiply by 1,000 to get to where Jesus wants. Imagine we can have a friendship with the Holy Spirit where we can know what He likes. We know what God dislikes. We know what quenches the Spirit. We know what He wants us to steer us, where He wants to guide us, and we go according to that. How beautiful is that? But it's not easy. And so this morning, I want to put this challenge out, is to challenge your thinking in terms of where is your friendship with the Holy Spirit? Where is your friendship with God today? Where is your friendship with Jesus? And take steps to change that. I mean, there's such a deep life friendship available from the Holy Spirit. And I believe when we get this right, God just comes and He's just God. In terms of what I said about God searches our heart and examines our mind, when He does that, He will point out things that is not helpful. That 2%, that one thing that we are lacking, that one thing we are hiding, not giving God our full heart, where is that? And when we do that and God comes and examines, the fruit of that will be health. But it will be a spiritual, and it will be a spiritual. He will check up on our spiritual health. Because physically we can look okay, we breathe, we won't fall over. But what is our spiritual condition, our spiritual health before God? And let's allow God. And this morning I want you to just take a moment and allow God to check up on your spiritual health. How am I doing, God, with this with this friendship? And I want to do that. And I want to finish with this. If you want to be successful in your Christian walk, if you want to be successful in life, relationship, whatever goes on in your life, if you want to be successful, be obedient. It's as easy as that. Be obedient to God. Love one another. If you live a life of obedience, you will have a life of close communion with God. And I want to finish that. There's no way we can be friends with God without Jesus. We cannot be friends without Jesus to a consuming fire. It's impossible. John 14 verse 6 says this. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one. So I want to pray for you guys and myself as well. And just close your eyes. Just shut down your thoughts and the things going on in your heart. Just relax. God, I want to pray that you will come and reveal yourself, Lord God. I want to pray that if there's something we have to change in our friendship, a new level that we have to go to in our friendship, I pray today that we'll take that step. How amazing is it that we are called friends of God if we are obedient and we obey your commands? Thank you, God, that you send your Holy Spirit so that we can have that close friendship. And I want to pray for anyone here this morning, God, who hasn't got a friendship with you, who's got no relationship with you. I want to pray for people that might be here that's religious, that come to church, read their Bible, but they don't know you at all, Jesus. There's no friendship. Will you come this morning and reveal yourself, Holy Spirit? And help us, God, to take a step closer in our friendship with you. If it's sin, help us to stop it. Help us just to stop it. God, you're not calling us to a road that's just saying no to sin and just ticking off a to-do list. But you are calling us into a friendship, into a close communion. And said, I want to be your friend, like in a marriage. I know everything about my spouse and she knows everything about me. What a beautiful picture of how you want to be with us. You want to call us to a close friendship. And God, I pray you'll give us the ability to do that. If there's someone here today who's got no relationship with Jesus, this is your chance to start a fresh new relationship, a fresh new friendship. And you can pray after me or pray this in your heart. So Jesus, I know that you are God's Son. I know that you died on the cross for my sin. You laid your whole life down for me. You bought me with your blood. I thank you that you took all my sin on your shoulders and you took all my sin away and you gave me your righteousness so that I will be able to stand in front of God as a friend. I want to take that step today and I want to say that you are my friend, you're my Lord, and you're my Savior. I want to thank you for that, Lord God. I want to thank you for the way, Jesus, you made a way for us to be friends with God. And help us, God, not to live dumbed down friendships with you. Help us not to make you a Facebook friend where we switch you on and off as we want to. But help us to grow a close, close knitted friendship with you, Holy Spirit. Help us, God, not to be like the waiter who obeys in 98%, but that one thing we lack. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that right now you will reveal, if there's anything you want to reveal or say to us, that you do that. But I pray that you will clear the table and you will be able to give us a new friendship, a start of a new friendship closer to you, Lord God. Amen. I just want to encourage you guys is please don't leave it here. If you feel there's something that you need to change in your friendship with God, just do it. Just do it. Start by obedience. Start with obedience. Start with following God's commands. That is what God wants for us. Let's do that. And the beautiful thing is, it's so much easier to do it in community. It's so much easier to do it in community when we walk together. When you're alone, that's the worst thing you can do. And one of the key things we want to establish in this church is a close community, a real friendship. And sometimes the Bible says bear with one another. Sometimes we irritate one another. But God is calling us to a close friendship with one another, loving one another, but also with Him.